The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Little dealer's wheel, I think, right here. George Brockler, 710 KNUS, right back with you. Hey, there's a couple things going on that I wanted to mention to you that are going on. And a couple texters have called in or texted in. I think even Joan had called in to say, hey, here's a story that they're interested in. I really wasn't that interested in it. But listen, I'm happy to, especially for the regular listeners that have a show idea, I'm happy to broach this topic with you because really the question for me is, why do you care? And I mean that respectfully. So here's the story. Turns out there is going to be a huge hurricane, potentially a Category 5 hurricane, 155 plus mile an hour winds, you know, like once in a century kind of stuff that crushes Florida. And that's the coverage all morning, right? Like if you turn on Fox, everything is about Florida about to be crushed. And so anytime there's going to be some kind of a natural disaster, as you can imagine, the president of the United States calls up whoever those executives are from that area and offers support and pre-condolences or whatever it is. And then after the disaster happens, they'll hop in a plane or a helicopter or something and fly over, maybe even walk around rubble. Who knows? And if you'll remember back in the day after Katrina hit, President Bush was savaged in the media for not going down to Katrina, for just merely flying over it, I think, at one point. And I don't know if you remember that awkward scene at the was it the Grammys with Yee and Michael Myers? And Mike Myers reads his lines off the card. And Kanye West comes on and says, George Bush hates black people. That was all a reaction to his non-appearance after Katrina. So now you have President Biden making the not formally obligatory, but informally obligatory phone calls. And he has called three different mayors in Florida. Two of them are Democrats. One of them is a Republican, but considered a moderate Republican. But the one person that he hasn't called is Governor Ron DeSantis, who just based off the title alone, you know, is the chief executive of the state of Florida. Nobody outranks this guy in Florida, and nobody's going to be more on the hook. In fact, if you're looking for a response to this disaster, two things take place. One is the governor can mobilize the National Guard, and I think he's already done that. A couple days ago, he'd put like 5,000 guardsmen or something like that. I may not have the number correctly, in a status to respond quickly to these emergencies. In advance, too, the way our law is set up is that the governor can declare a state of emergency, and that triggers federal support. As an aside, as just a legal issue for you to consider, we love that model. And we love that model because it means that the federal government cannot just show up to help out on its own. There is a limited circumstance in which the federal government could do that without an invitation from a governor. But I don't know that it's ever been invoked. We want states to remain autonomous enough to be able to say, hey, federal government, don't want your help yet. We think we got it here, and keep the feds out. In most disasters, because of the amount of money and resources the federal government has available to respond to these things, most governors declare a state of emergency. Even if the whole state isn't in an emergency, they will declare a state of emergency for a certain area to trigger that federal support. And so in this particular case, the president has started to make his calls to the cities that are going to be most affected, but he has not called the guy that could trigger the state of emergency thing and get all this federal support. And so people have texted in, and great regular listeners, folks that we have conversations with on the phone, sometimes in person, people I respect, and they're outraged by this. And they think that this is a big deal. And I think it is noteworthy as a story for sure. And that is that the president of the United States, for reasons that my guess is could only be political, has refused so far or failed so far to pick up the phone and press the digits, or someone's probably dialing it for him, let's be honest, to get to Governor Ron DeSantis and do the typical thing that a president does, the typical thing that he did for three other mayors. And so my question for this topic is there some reason you can think of that he would do this that isn't just straight politics? And if so, and if not, why do you care? Is this an issue? Is it a real issue? And maybe I'm missing it, and I need you to help me here. Tell me in the text. Tell me in the 303-696-1971. This is a big deal because. Now, I picture Steve Ducey's son, Ducey Jr. I can't remember his name. You remember his name, Steve's son? Scooter? Is it Scooter Ducey? Phil. Peter. I picture Peter Ducey in his daily exchange with KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre. I picture him asking her this, if someone else doesn't beat him to the punch, and that is, why hasn't the president called Governor DeSantis? Will he call Governor DeSantis? Now, that is going to trigger only one of two responses, right? One will be that she says, hey, listen, he fully intends to talk to the governor, but here are the reasons he hasn't so far. You know, he's been super busy. He is on a stage abandoned somewhere in America. No one has come to rescue him from it, and we've seen that a lot. Or he's in the process of doing this, but he needed to get this at something. Or she's going to dig in, and this is what I predict will happen, and she'll say, well, the president directed the director of FEMA, an appointed person, not an elected person, an appointed member of the administration, to reach out to the governor. And she, in fact, has had a conversation with the governor. Of course, President Biden is going to offer every assistance he can to the good people of Florida. And he has started that process by putting the FEMA director in touch with Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, that may on paper look like an appropriate response. You and I know that's bunk. You and I know that's garbage. And that the reason that he isn't calling is because Ron DeSantis poses the risk of being a potential future rival for the same office that the president holds right now. Now, that, of course, if that's the reason, and I think we're all listening here at 710 KNUS thinking, of course, that's the reason. What other reason could there be? That makes him look pretty small and pretty petty. And now he's put himself in a position where if he calls, he has to look like he's backing down or giving in. And if he doesn't, he looks even smaller and more petty. Now, guy could come out and say, yep, intended to call, just haven't done it yet. Or, man, I meant to call. I should have called him first, but I wanted to call the mayors who I thought were going to be the most impacted. Blah, 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 blah. Didn't do that. So now we're stuck. But then the bigger question for me, especially with the number of texts coming in, is so what? I mean, how does this change anything for you? Like, this is a talk topic because what's the controversy? I mean, I got to know this. If somebody fully supports the idea that the president shouldn't call Ron DeSantis or it's no big deal, give me a call. I think it's a deal. Believe me, I think it looks completely political and petty. But so what? Now what? I mean, if it's just a discussion of doesn't this make Joe Biden look bad? Okay, yeah, it does. Now what? This isn't even about public policy. This is about protocol. We're going to have a conversation about protocol. And I'm happy to have it with you, and the texts are coming in here. But what difference can it make as we head into the midterms? How will this change anything? Is this going to advance the cause of any candidate or any policy issue or anything? I don't know. Here's one. The blatant act of not calling DeSantis shows me that this is political, not about concern for the people of Florida. Yep. And the Obama administration isn't going to call DeSantis. True. It ensures me that the Democrats do not give a darn about the people. That's my word. A darn about the people of Florida or anywhere else. They're still stung about the 50 people that went to Martha's Vineyard. Really? Do you really think it means this, that Biden doesn't care about the Americans in Florida? You can't conclude that. What he doesn't care about is Ron DeSantis. Probably doesn't like the politics of Ron DeSantis, maybe bristles at his personality, but the failure to call the governor, does that mean that the president doesn't care about the people of Florida? That just seems like too much. That seems like too much. Here's one. The Hill and the New York Post report DeSantis talked Tuesday evening. I don't know what that means. Maybe to the president or to, because that's not what I just read here. In fact, the thing that I read was, I'm getting it for you right here, folks. It is something called Insider, Business Insider. And it is dated 18 hours ago. Biden has called three Florida mayors, but not DeSantis, to talk about Hurricane Ian. And if you've got the link, man, send it along. If you've got New York Times or the Post, I'm happy to look at that too. But again, if that happens, great. It makes it even less relevant. But so what? Here's one. Just shows that Biden doesn't care about certain people or areas. Yep, I agree. He doesn't care about Ron DeSantis. Does he not care about Florida, though? DeSantis and Biden talked last evening. That is according to this texter. I doubt if Joe Biden could find Florida on the map. Now he's not in charge here. Whoever's behind him doesn't like DeSantis. All other presidents have had the grace to call. That could be true. That could be true. First of all, DeSantis is competent enough to handle his own emergencies. And secondly, maybe Ron is too busy to take a call now. So Joe may be waiting, or it's political, which is probably the real reason. Let's get real. These people are mean and vindictive. How about this? I didn't even think about that. What if Ron DeSantis just won't return his call or take his call, so they haven't advertised it? I want to look this up to see if that's true. Yeah, right. Billy, can you see, did The Hill and the New York Times report that they did have a conversation? That would also be an interesting part of this thing. It says, this is a big deal because in a time of crisis, Americans are Americans. If his partisanship is so deep that he can't show support, he needs to be replaced. It's symbolic yet needed. Well, there's part of that I agree with. I agree that in a time of crisis, the politics ought to be shelved and we ought to just look at helping each other out. That is true. And this feels like it flies in the face of that. But is that the reason you replace a president? Because of this kind of petty politics? I don't know. I mean, it does make him look small and petty. And is it a future political issue? Can you see a single ad like right before Hurricane Ian, President Biden called these three people, but not Ron DeSantis? I mean, who's going to care? What voter is going to be like, why you? You shouldn't be president. I care because Biden said he would unify the nation. This is not unifying. Yeah, that's true. But let's be real. He abandoned the unification thing a long time ago. That thing is in the rearview mirror. That is on the ash heap of Democrat politics right now. As a leader, politics or business, you have to work with people you don't like. If Biden can't make that call, I think it shows he's a crappy leader. I am willing to bet, Texter, and that's, of course, our friend Alexa, I'm willing to bet that you thought he was a crappy leader before, and even if he had called Ron DeSantis, you would still think he's a crappy leader. Isn't that true? I mean, this has this changed your mind about Biden in any meaningful way? What I think is, this is just another log on the fire. This is just another, oh, look at that. He can't even call Ron DeSantis a future political rival. That just shows how small and petty he is. He's a horrible leader. Okay, I mean, we can agree on those things. But does it change anything for you? Did anybody go, up until this moment, I was a huge Joe Biden fan, and now he's lost me? I just don't think that's true. Here's one. He hasn't shown, he doesn't care about Florida if he's going to not call the governor for political reasons. Because ultimately, if you cared about the people of Florida, politics wouldn't play a part. I'm not sure calling a state's governor means I don't care about the people of that state. I mean, I guess another question would be, would Ron DeSantis call Newsom out in California if something happened? I think he would. But if he didn't, would that change your opinion about DeSantis? Would it make you think, would Trump call Newsom? And if he didn't, would you be sitting here going, that DJT, that's small ball, that's petty, he's not a good leader? Or would you say, Newsom's been a jerk to him? That, why would you call that guy? He's horrible. He said horrible things about the president. He's done this, he's done that. He's a political rival. Isn't that what we'd say? Would we castigate the president for not calling Governor Newsom? Here's one. It's, yeah, someone said it's not Alexa. There's multiple texts here going on, Texter. I'm not just responding to you. It's character. Yep. Could be a measure of character. I'm interested to know, Billy, did you confirm at all whether or not, still looking, hasn't found it yet. It says, remember, Biden didn't even bother to call the other European countries when he quickly evacuated Afghanistan. I don't know if he gave them a heads up or not. I think I recall that he wasn't big on here's what's happening. But I get why he wouldn't do that, too. Here's one. Let's Let's see. I doubt if Joe Biden. Maybe you Biden's on hold. Maybe you Biden's on hold. I don't. It's not Biden that's on hold. It's our friend Joan. Joan, you're on 710. What do you think?
I think, George, that I care enough about you to call in.
God bless you, Joan. Thank you for doing that. I want to hear your opinion on this because you were one that was like, I think this is an important issue. So I want to honor that. And you and some other texters, including our good buddy Alexa. And I thought, okay, but I just don't see what the issue is. Not the issue in terms of it's a matter of character. I get it. But now so what? Now what? What does this mean?
Well, it's a little bit like the argument you were having about how, you know, we need to change the laws about the electoral stuff, college and stuff like that. In America, we have culture and there are things that you do. And when there are emergencies, you stop party. You put country before party. And it's important to have a president who is above things. And I think that President Biden has not reached out to this fan test because, one, they're working very hard on making him the new Nazi. Trump suddenly is a lot more gentle and kind because they see Ron as a rival. And two, I think Biden is terribly jealous of DeSantis ratings.
Now, here's what it just says, Joan, while you're on here. Of course, Billy, who wears many hats, including show researcher, has just found that The Hill and The Washington Times, not The Post, it sounds like The Times, that ain't no lib rag, are both reporting that Biden called DeSantis last night. What are your thoughts? Does it change your analysis? And I say that because it's clear he called him after he called the mayor. So let's just take the he's never called him off the table. He called Tuesday night. Was that to bow to pressure? Was it wrong that he called DeSantis last? Does any of it matter?
I think it's about a pressure, one. And two, maybe that it took him that long to dial.
Is that a reference to his decline, his intellectual decline?
Yeah, he's slow and stutters, and I can see him trying to dial something like 911 and getting like 99911.
Yeah.
So, that was the reference. So does this change my opinion of him?
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Well, I wasn't fond of him, but
Joan, it's more than that, right? You were never, ever, never supportive of Biden. You would never, ever, never support Biden. You have all, I'm just, tell me if I say this wrong. You never thought he was a good leader. You didn't think he should be president. Part of you wonders if he's really president. And you think that the guy shouldn't be reelected. Are all of those things true?
Very much so.
Okay. So, I mean, how does your opinion change now that you find out that politics kept him from calling Ron first?
Because I can actually use this to be persuasive with others.
So, okay, this is interesting, Joan. How do you do that? What do you tell about, you go knock on the door, you say November's so election. I mean, so the November's election is so, so very important. Did you hear what President Biden did?
Yeah, but I don't start with that.
What do you start with?
Crime. Absolutely crime. I do the Democrat thing. I say, I'm walking, and the reason I'm walking is because I had a friend of mine whose catalytic converter was cut out of her car.
Is that true? You had a catalytic
converter?
What?
Not me, a friend.
Why not just steal the whole car? Like, what's the benefit of?
Because what that does is it's a story, it makes it personal, and it's emotional, and they can relate, and in order to persuade somebody to think your way, you need to be able to make them think that you are somebody they like.
That's interesting. And you would factor this into that conversation in a way that you think that would be meaningful. Like, tell me how this convinces a voter who would otherwise be unconvinced.
Well, I can tell them about how the last major hurricane in Texas, the Jefferson County Republican Party, collected a whole bunch of goods. They had two trucks that they set down there.
That's great. That's exactly what you want.
And that's true, because Republicans care. And with Biden not calling, and he's showing how he doesn't care. He's all about the power, but he really doesn't care.
Well, and now that he's called, though, does that get diminished for you, the fact that we found out he called just last night?
No, because who did he call first?
It sounds like he called three mayors, two Dems and a moderate Republican mayor. So is it the order of the phone calls that makes the difference?
No, it's the fact that he had his FEMA person. That was just degrading.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, I don't know this, Joan. I wonder historically if presidents typically call before the FEMA director does or after, or if anyone has ever cared before. Here's the other thing I don't know. I don't know what happened during natural disasters during the Trump administration.
It's a care issue. You know? It's just, does he care?
I think that it's not a question of caring about Florida. I think it's a question of how do we navigate the fact that DeSantis is throwing punches at us all the time, and he is, and he's sending the migrants up to Martha's Vineyard and all, and he could be a potential rival. I think it's less Joe Biden than it is the people that are handling him, and they're trying to figure out a way to navigate these waters in a way that doesn't open up the president to some sort of ridicule. I could also see them saying, Mr. President, if you call Ron DeSantis and you misspeak or you say anything, this is the guy that's going to run to the media and go, yeah, I got a call from the president. And it was word salad. You know what I mean? I couldn't understand a single thing. That could be a worry.
I sincerely believe DeSantis would not do that.
Yeah, I don't think he would either. But I mean, I can see their worry that he's going to use this for political gain.
Go ahead. Character too. And that's why I'm kind of sad that you don't see this.
It's not that I don't see it. I just don't see it as an issue that's going to change anything. Like, it only reaffirms for you what you already believe.
Are you ready for what's going to happen next?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
There's going to be damage, right?
Of course there is.
And people are going to die. Because people will die. It's a Cat 5. They haven't had a Cat 5 for at least 20 years.
I thought they said it was like a 100-year hurricane, but maybe
it's
20.
I don't know. It's been a long, long time since they've seen this kind of thing. And the very sad thing is I have a friend of mine who moved from Colorado to Florida, and we're not going to discuss why she did that. She was my very best friend, and she evacuated, and she's in Georgia with her dog. And the point is she's out of danger, but there are people who will stay, and there are people that will die. And then the Democrats will come out, and no matter what DeSantis does, no matter what he does, he will be a villain.
Well, that could be true. And I think it's all politics, and I think it's an interesting thing to reference on the radio. And Joan, you've probably made it more of a talk topic than I thought it would be. And as always, thank you for listening. Thanks for the text. Thanks for the great phone call. We are up against it right now. Quick update here, got from one of our great emailers. Trump not only called Newsom, but he went and visited him when wildfires ravaged California. That says a lot more about Trump, doesn't it? Especially when compared with President Biden. But again, he called him last night, it sounds like. Called him last night, not the first call from the federal government and not the first call from the president. Maybe that all factors into that. I think that they've probably done something smart here and taken this off the political radar for now. But interesting. Listen, before I cut you loose, though, I have to tell you about our friend Mitch Floria at the Art of Granite. Speaking of guys of character, guys that would help out, as you look at the real estate market the way it is and you think to yourself, maybe we're going to sit pat for a little bit here, you may look around and say, I want to upgrade the quality of this house. We can get that new house feel without having to do the new house thing. Let's upgrade the counters in our kitchen and in our bathrooms. The guy you call is our friend Mitch Floria. Not just a superstar legal immigrant who came over here from communist Romania and started a business and was crushing it, hires people, pays taxes. I mean, what else do you want from an American? Someone that makes the economy go, does great things. He can get you wholesale prices, no markup. He's an expert craftsman. Quartz, granite, marble. I suppose if you had the money, he could figure out a way to do it with diamonds. I just don't know. You can go and visit artofgranite.com. That's awesome. That's a good place to start. But honest to goodness, some of this stuff is so much better in person. You have to go to his showroom at about I-70 and 6th Avenue. And the other reason you go there is you want to meet this guy. You heard him on the radio a couple weeks ago. Fantastic interview. Go meet him. And if you do, I think you're about 98% sure to close the deal with him. And everybody I know that listens to the show that has used Mitch has texted me or emailed me at some point since I've been reading for Mitch and saying, oh my God, we did the Art of Granite. Best thing ever. These guys are phenomenal. That's all I hear about them. Why don't you join them? And here's the deal. You mention me, mention KNUS, you get a bathroom countertop for free with the purchase of your kitchen countertop. Or you can get a bathroom sink for free with the purchase of any countertop package, kitchen or bathroom sink. Give Mitch a call. This number rings in his pocket, 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. When we come back, we're going to get to the phone lines. There's a line open, 303-696-1971. It's Jones, and we'll get to some of the texts as well. It's George Brockler, 710 KNUS. Every time I hear it now, I picture Eddie Murphy in jail in 48 Hours, the old 1982-ish Nick Nolte, Eddie Murphy buddy film, which gave birth to, sadly, another 48 Hours. Hey, George Brockler back with you here on The George Show. Tons and tons of texts and phone calls. I'd like to get to as many as I can. John, you're on 710. John, what am I missing here? And I say that because despite the texts and everything going on, I don't get how this moves the dial. It feels like fodder for those who didn't like Biden to begin with, but what difference can it make on the political spectrum?
Well, Miles of Smiles on your radio dial, George. I'm happy that you had me on.
Thank you.
I don't think a damn thing. Now, that's just my two cents. Maybe I'm a little bit of an outsider. Just got back from Canada. The husband and I, we went up to Montreal.
Yeah.
With Le Quebecois, the wine drinkers, the pea soup eaters, had some poutine on the TV.
Poutine,
there,
baby, right there. You're not getting thinner eating that stuff.
No, you ain't waking up either. No. It's a good way to fall asleep on a cold Canadian day. So we're watching on the news there, Nova Scotia getting hit, historic hurricane.
Wow.
Just flooding, houses falling into the sea. And you know what? None of them were saying, what's Doug Ford's position on this? Nobody called in and said, I need to hear from the premier of Quebec, Francois Legault. Tell me what his thoughts on the historic flooding. They didn't care. They were more concerned about the historic flooding.
Do they have a system, John, like ours, where, one, historically, you would agree that the president typically uses natural disasters as a vehicle for the photo op and all that. But more than that, enshrined in the law is this sort of barrier that exists between the feds and the state, which I like, but that gets taken down when the governor says, hey, I want to declare a national or a statewide emergency. And the president usually calls up and says, hey, I want to offer you all the support of the federal government. Let us know what you need. We'll be there to help out. When that doesn't happen in Canada, is that atypical? Is that normal? Do you know?
Well, to my knowledge, there's never a call before an historic event to go, hey, just wanted to previously let you know that I'm still in Canada, and as your premier, your PM,
yeah,
I stand behind you. Mostly they go with, yeah, I know that. We'll wait until something happens.
Well, this one's a little, the Nova Scotia thing is interesting. I hadn't heard about that, but it's different with like a fire or an earthquake, right? Like we don't get someone that comes on and says, hey, I'm looking at satellite imagery. Looks like we're going to have a wildfire down in La Vida, Colorado. I mean, nobody does that, right? The weather thing seems different because you can call it out. I remember being in Miami last week and people were talking about this. And I thought, thank God I'm going to be back in Colorado uphill.
Right, where we only got to worry about the wildfires, right?
That's right. Not here in Aurora as much, but, you know, in Denver. But, yes, you're right.
Well,
so for you, it is, again, it's irrelevant. And part of the reason it's irrelevant is it's like, listen, the president or the premier of Canada, their role in one of these things is so diminished that folks recognize that it's the local folks that get it all done.
Yeah. And I don't think that anyone believes that these people are holding out grudges in respect of that. If you wanted to, both the premier of Nova Scotia and Ontario are conservatives, Alberta, there's quite a few of them. None of them are looking to sharpen their knives to stab another conservative in the back. Just the same as Trudeau has no belief that either of these guys are going to somehow switch themselves into a tizzy to take his job because they're not ministers of parliament. So there's a slight difference there. But ultimately, we're all in this together. The idea that this would be a definitive issue for someone as a voter, I can't imagine that woman coming to my door and saying that to me.
It's interesting. I appreciate our neighbor to the north, that perspective, because I do think that some of it is cultural. Some of it may actually be governmental infrastructure. Like, they just may not be set up that way. It would be interesting to me that the federal government up there, or if they even call it a federal government, the government up there doesn't play a role in natural disasters. It's just ours is so different in that, you know, the feds just can't show up in Florida and help out. Like, they couldn't just show up and say, hey, we're going to send the military down there to lock down an intersection to help you. They can't do that. There's Posse Comitatus Act. There's, you know, the barrier that exists in our entire national security infrastructure within the country, where we just respect state sovereignty more than we do the federal government's interest in helping out. So it's an interesting relationship that we have here. But I get your point. I also think, though, that whether it's because of a different system or not, you and I agree on this. It doesn't matter. Like, this hasn't changed a single person's vote in my mind. Nobody that's going to vote against Biden in the future is changed by this. Nobody that was going to vote for Biden is changed by this either. There's going to be excuses all the way around. It's an interesting topic, or at least it was until he made the phone call last night. I just don't think it matters.
No. And the other side to it, I definitely feel all the sympathy to the world to these people who are be suffering because of this hurricane. That being said, making political hay on it, because someone didn't say, I'm sorry that you might lose your house before the hurricane happens a few days earlier. That just sounds like you really want to.
It's a little more than that. It's a little more than that. And that it's, hey, offers of assistance, because we absolutely know there's going to be devastation. We just know it, right? Like, that's not if it happens.
You said that you were in Miami, about a week ago, right?
Yeah, last Friday.
And they were concerned, correct? So why didn't he call a month ago? You know, why didn't he call it? When are we going to draw a line of, well, he already knew about a week ago that there was going to be a hurricane. He should have called then.
Well, we knew that there were hurricane winds developing and it was heading towards Cuba. But we also know that a lot of these things become near misses. So I also get the reason he doesn't call in advance of the hurricane season and announce to everyone on a coastal state.
And we know that global warming
increases
the chances for stronger weather systems. So maybe you should have called a week ago or a month ago. Yeah, we all know that. That's okay. Fine. Move on. We'll wait until there's an issue here where, hey, he didn't give the support that we needed. Or we requested a number of bucket trucks from our neighbors in Georgia who didn't send them. Yeah, then we can castigate these people. But outside of that, I don't see that as being an issue.
I think it's different if he had withheld anything. You're right about that. I feel a little bit differently in terms of the questions that you posed about the timing and stuff like that. But overall, I think the part where we agree, and there's a bunch of texters that just don't, is that that this is somehow politically relevant, and I just don't think it is. I think it would have been fodder for Fox News and stuff, but he called yesterday. Here's one. No one cares if Joe called or not because we know his true nature and character, sadly. But that's my point. I get it. It wouldn't have mattered. Right. It wouldn't have mattered. Had Joe Biden called the minute before he called any other, it wouldn't have mattered. people were just going to be like dismissive of him. I'm looking to find something that changes someone's mind on it. Hey, John, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for that. And thank you for coming back to us from Canada. Don't stay up there. It's a good place to go and eat, maybe take a nap in the cold, but come back down here. Thank you for doing that. Before I let you go for a quick break, and then we'll be joined by our friends at Alpine Planning, I want to tell you about someone else, something else, some organization that helps out a ton in the battle to make life better, and that is the Colorado Farm Bureau. First off, the website, got to go to it, coloradofarmbureau.com. Chock full of information, but also chock full of opportunity to join them. Why would I tell you to do that? Because these are the folks that go to battle for us and our water. Now, you say Farm Bureau. How do they represent me? Let me tell you. Ag is like the number two, number three industry in Colorado. They represent a ton of the front, plains here, the western slope. And these are the folks that try to figure out a way to use our water multiple times before it has to leave us to go downstream, which the law says it does. We're not getting any more water, folks. We're only going to get less, and we have more people coming here to use it. So when you got an organization like Colorado Farm Bureau that says we're committed to maximizing the use of that water for the benefit of Coloradans, both in the ag community and for you and I, for the pools and the showers and brushing your teeth and swimming and all that stuff, you got to say, how do I help them out? Because the more of us there are, the bigger their muscles, and the bigger their muscles, the more they can go do great things on our behalf at the state and federal level. So check them out. Colorado Farm Bureau, they're leaders in water management, but that really means they're leaders in protecting Colorado. Gotta go to coloradofarmbureau.com and join them, coloradofarmbureau.com. When we come back, we're going to get made a lot smarter on the financial markets today. Fingers crossed that it's nothing, but hey, I want to hear stock market tripled. I don't know if that could happen, but I'd love to hear that when we come back. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS, going right to the VIP line to get smarter about the dollars. Our friend Gabe from Alpine Planning. Gabe, how are you?
I looked in the mirror and I have a lot more gray hairs than I did a year ago today, George.
What? Do you keep track? I mean, that's crazy. Is it just a condition related to the financial markets? Because you're scaring me. Or is this about just Gabe doesn't take care of himself?
No, I read an article. It's stress induced.
And stress from them. Oh, here we go. You're not going to tell me that the market's just tripled.
No, I wish I could, sir. But I mean, it is starting choppy this morning, but as of this moment right now, George, all of the three major indices are positive, right now. So the Dow is currently up 112, NASDAQ's up 11, and the S&P is up 13. This is with, however, Apple down about 3 to 4%, and the reason that's important is, and Apple is actually the biggest contingent in the S&P and makes up a huge weight of the NASDAQ as well. So that means, you know, some of the other members are in the green today, but it has just been a crazy couple weeks, and since the last Fed rate hike, with what's going on with the dollar. I kind of wanted to get into that, George, because although, you know, with the dollar at parity with the euro and almost with the pound now, that makes it really great if you're going on holiday or vacation, over the pond. But I think one thing that investors don't really grapple with is the stronger the dollar gets, the more earnings the S&P will lose, because of the fact that all of our earnings abroad, when they come back into dollars, are essentially going to be worth less because the dollar is so strong. And so I think this is sort of what you have going right now from the currency side of it, with the news coming out about the pound on Monday, is, you know, all of these central banks are now scrambling to sort of keep up with what the Fed is doing. And that is in turn sort of sending all the other economies into sort of more recessionary flashing mode. And so I think right now, you still just have a little bit of contagion going through the financial markets. It's really going to take a catalyst. I think maybe the September inflation report or some of the news we get in October on September are really going to be the catalyst to turn this thing around for right now.
Is it your expectation that we're going to see a dip in the inflation numbers? And again, I don't know the stuff the way you guys do at Alpine, but it seems to me every article I've read has said that there is a significant cooling off of real estate prices everywhere. I think Denver's number five out of the top 10 areas that have seen cooling off. Does that drive down inflation, or is that just one small piece that isn't going to have a big, big impact?
No, no, it's a great question, and you're absolutely right. Like the three biggest contributors, I guess I'll say the four biggest contributors have been food, energy, shelter, and, you know, I can also throw used car prices in there over the last couple of years. And certainly energy, when you're going to fill up at the gas station, I recall when the Sinclair across from our office had gas above $5 a gallon. So obviously that's come down. I think food is a little bit more wonky with depending on which part of the aisle you're looking at. And then obviously shelter has been booming so much, but I think we're finally starting to catch up, where as if we look at a year ago, rents aren't going up 10-20% like they were in a lot of cities like Austin, Denver, and a lot of the hot markets where people were moving to during COVID. I think now that people are going back to work in the office, you're going to start to see that stabilize a bit. So I'm with you there, George. I'm praying for my gray hairs that the inflation report does cool off significantly for the months of September. And therefore the Fed can sort of take its foot off the gas pedal, so to speak.
Oh boy. Well, man, I'm going to hope for the best, including, and you already know this, AL East champs, Yankees. I'm hoping for an Aaron Judge 61st and 62nd home run. That will spur the markets. 'Cause I don't know if anybody knows this, New York Stock Exchange, it's in New York.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, we got the M's hanging by a thread there, holding on to that second wild card spot.
We'll see, man.
It's been 21 years, George, and I love you, but you guys have had your fill.
Okay? I disagree. That's crazy talk. Get your own microphone, Gabe. Dang it. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. They really don't know anything about sports. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call them today, 303-843-0918, 303-0918. Thanks, Gabe.
You be well, George.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Hey, listen, when we come back, the governor candidate in Pennsylvania has said something about murder. I want to talk to you about it. 710 KNUS.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.